Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for being here to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I hope you had a very blessed Thanksgiving and had plenty of turkey and all the trimmings and everything that you liked and were able to spend a joyous time with your family and friends and took time to thank God for the many blessings that you have in your life. We'll make several announcements. Kind of quickly, not going to go through these in depth, but just remind you have the nursery care next door. The library is available for a crying room or coughing room. Advent calendars are provided by the worship team are available on the table in the narthex, and this is the first Sunday in Advent. The Christmas poinsettia list is on the back table. Our orders are due early this year by December the 9th. So if you want to sign up, please do so. Deacons meet next Sunday after worship in the library. Session Council meets Tuesday, December the 3rd at 7. Remember the angel tree, and you can talk to the deacons about that. There's a procedure they want you to go through, make sure that the kids get their presents and know who they're going to. And you can read about the craft show going on December the 7th and December the 14th. And on December the 15th, that's when we celebrate Jesus' birthday, right after worship, 11:30, McFadden Hall. We're asking that you bring a salad or a vegetable, ham and dessert, and drinks will be provided. And the food bank is still in need of frozen turkeys, 10 to 12 pounds. And if you're interested in being a participant in Advent candle lighting service, we may still need a reader. You can talk to Arlie Cornelius. Her phone number and email address are in here. And then offering envelopes are still on the back. Many of you have picked them up, but some are on the back. I'm going to switch over here for a second. I want to thank the deacons and everyone that came out and everyone that cleaned and set up and provided turkeys and brought something down for the crowd to eat. This was just a really glorious Thanksgiving that we had at the church, and the smiles and the joy and the happiness that you saw on people's faces just made it all worthwhile. I say it year after year, it's really my favorite thing, and it's not because I get to eat, believe it or not, because I get to go somewhere else and get to eat again. It's walking around talking to everybody and hear them say, thank you so much for providing this. We just love it. We don't know where we would go or what we would do if Glenshaw Valley wasn't providing this, and we just love to come back every year. And the deacons planned for about 100. I think there were over 80 people. I didn't 87 people. So I think that set a new record. 2 weeks ago, it was in the Shaler Journal on the second page. If you've got an old one, you want to go back and get that. And I tacked one on the back. And also, the photographer from Post Gazette, some of you have already seen it, the two photographs, came down and stayed a long time, took a lot of photos, and then we thought there might be an article in the paper. I don't know, maybe there's one today, I don't know, but what we got was a little captions with two photos on the picture of the day in the Post Gazette, which I just think is fantastic advertising for our church. I had some photos running in PowerPoint before the service. I didn't know how to get these into PowerPoint, so I put it, separated it, because these are professional. And I just want to quickly show you the two photographs if you did not see them. You probably don't recognize many of the faces, but those people, as we started serving, Artis, our secretary, and some others, Mike and Lynn in the back, and Kathy, and some others, and then a lot of people have come down to eat. So you can just see the spread of food that was out there, just really good food. And I got to take some home, so I've been having Thanksgiving every day. And believe me, I have been thankful for that. And then this one, now it had a caption about me and talking to, I remember I told her pictures could be on here. She said, oh, no. So So thankful for that, and hopefully maybe some people saw it and got our name out there and some of the things that we're doing, because this is ministry. This is what we're supposed to be doing while we're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. We don't just sit in the church and wait. We do mission. We're actively doing things, and I think we deserve a round of applause for this. I'll put it back on the other picture so you don't have to look at me too much. Remember to sign your carrying book and pass it down. I'd like to have a record of your attendance. If any information has changed, please let us know. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Before you play, one announcement I forgot to make. Mabe's son Doug, as many of you know, passed away, and said there wasn't going to be any kind of service, but they are having a memorial service at Live Community Church, Route 588 in Zelianople, meeting at the church here today. And the service is at 2:00. In other words, some people are leaving from here. What time are you meeting to leave? 1:00 meeting here to leave, and then the service is at Zelianople, so you can go with them, Debbie and Mabin, follow them if you'd like to go to the service. Son and brother Doug. Okay. Thank you. Oh, I got to announce it. The hymn is 123, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Thank you. Amen. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being involved in our lives. We praise you for coming to earth to save us. We are waiting for Jesus to come again. Forgive us for living as if Jesus will never return. Forgiving us for placing more importance on presents at Christmas than on your presence in our lives. Help us to serve your kingdom while we wait. Teach us how to honor your word. Remind us of the importance of salvation for those who are lost. May we let our light shine in a world full of darkness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join again together once again this morning with a sense of love and unity as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and let's greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, ask them.
We begin the season of Advent with expectant and believing hearts.
We wait upon the Lord and place our hope in God's Word.
During Advent, we confront the darkness that so often exists around us.
We wait upon the Lord and place our hope in God's Word.
During Advent, we confront the doubt that so often resides within us.
We wait upon the Lord and place our hope in God's Word.
During Advent, we confront the division that so often occurs between us.
We wait upon the Lord and place our hope in God's Word.
This morning we light the first candle, which reminds us of the ultimate hope that comes through our Savior's birth. In a world where we often get overwhelmed by our circumstances, Advent comes as a gentle whisper, offering us hope to heal the broken, befriend the lonely, and share the good news of the gospel. This morning, let us begin with Advent season with expectant and believing hearts. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we embark upon another Advent journey, we pray that we would be encouraged by hope, strengthened in unity, and inspired through faith. May our ears be open and our hearts ready to receive the gift of hope embodied in the Word made flesh. We pray this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Our responsive reading is a contemporary affirmation of faith, 718, in the back of your hymnals. 718, a contemporary affirmation of faith. We believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, who was promised to the people of Israel who came in the flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory.
We believe in God, His Father, who raised Him from the dead, who created and sustains the universe, who acts to deliver His people in times of need, who desires all men everywhere to be saved, who rules over the destinies of men and nations, who continues to love men even when they reject Him.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the form of God present in the church, who moves men and women to faith and obedience, who is a guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the Word, who assists those whom He renews in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together.
We believe God has made us His people to invite others to follow Christ, to encourage one another to deeper commitment, to proclaim forgiveness of sins and hope, to reconcile men to God through word and deed, to bear witness to the power of love over hate, to proclaim Jesus the Lord over all, to meet the daily tasks of life with purpose, to suffer joyfully for the cause of right, to the ends of the earth, to the end of the age, to the praise of His glory. Amen.
This time we invite the elder on the door to come forth with a prayer and praise request.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Got quite a few of them here. I might need a swig out of that vodka bottle. I don't know. All right. First one, this is from the deacons, and this goes out to Mabe Sasso. Prayer for comfort and peace, knowing that you have friends and family here to get you through all this, Mabe, and that goes for all of us. This is for Mabe, to her son Doug. She wrote, My son Dawn, daughter Debbie, and I would like to thank you all for your prayers and condolences as we grieve for our brother and son. Please continue to pray for us, and we will. This is from Patty Ganrod, and she has a couple here, and you might have to help me. Is Gerald Thompson? Gerald Thompson. The chemo didn't work. There's nothing left to do, just a matter of time till it takes over and is spread to his chest, and watching his diet for it to slow down. It's her mother's husband. Her three grandbabies, Aiden, Landon, and Elizabeth, all three missed Thanksgiving due to illness, virus going around. Patty's husband, Chuck, he's having surgery on Tuesday at Passavant on his neck. They're removing a disc. They're going to put a spacer in. And that's this Tuesday coming. So pray for that. And Patty's brother, Keith, cancer has come back to his one remaining lung, considering another type of therapy, and he wouldn't make it through the chemo. So Kathy Segi, she's asking for prayers for her Aunt Margie. It's also my neighbor. Prayer for comfort and peace. If it is God's will that she meets our Lord, allow her to go with open arms. She is receiving her last rites. She's at Shadyside. Lois is asking for prayers for her granddaughter, Natalia Pegrin. She's 4 years old and having trouble with thought processing, needs therapy. Also was found to have a prominent heart murmur and needs an echocardiogram. Lois also asked for her son-in-law, Shelton. My son-in-law Shelton is an avid basketball player, is 42 years old. He has to have a knee replacement and is concerned he won't be able to play again. And we have a good one here, more on a positive. Betty Maurice, this is from her daughter Linda and Jim Dunn. It says, Mom celebrated her 90th birthday a few days ago. Happy birthday. And the church has been very important and an important part of her life for all these years. And we are pleased to make a donation in her honor for all the support and love you guys have given her. And they asked that go to the Women's Association. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and Presbyterian tradition, saying debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, hopefully still in a thankful mood, because this is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice within it. We have heard prayer requests for very dire circumstances, but we believe that you are a God of love and compassion, a God that has the best desires for each and every one of us. That's why you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to give his life for us, that we could have the promise of salvation and eternal life, and even the abundant life here upon this earth. That doesn't mean that life is always easy and rosy. Sometimes it is difficult, but it means that you are there with us every step of the way, that you never walk away from us, you never turn your back on us and say, he or she is not worth it, I don't care about them anymore. We know that you never do that. Thank you for your love, for your gentleness. We even thank you for your gentle correction when we need it. Help us to be the men and women, the boys and girls that you have called us to be, reaching out to one another with love and respect and dignity, valuing each other as human beings and as your children. As members and friends at Glenshell Valley, we pray for one another and remind us to do it on a daily basis, thinking of your advent, coming into the world the first time as a baby, growing up and all the teachings and the miracles, the examples that you set, going to the cross, rising from the dead, ascending into heaven, and now we wait for your coming in power and in glory. Thank you for that, Lord. Be with us as we know you are, and help us to be with one another. Show us the way. Let the Word be a lamp unto our feet and guide us in all things that are you. Lord, we thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, our contemporary screen song, is Jesus, Name Above All Names. prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the gifts that you've sent from above, your Holy Spirit that empowers your church and empowers us as individuals to be a unit, to be united in fellowship under the name and banner of Jesus Christ. Remind us that that is the most important thing, to love you and to love one another. Let us use the gifts of song and fellowship, of money, of time, of energy. Everything that we can do, let it be done for you and for your glory. May we point people to you so they can find salvation and peace and redemption and salvation and eternal life. Lord, bless each person this day. Lord, you're so good to us. Help us be good to you and to one another. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Patty Hall is our scripture reader for today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The reading for today is from Matthew 24, 36 through 44. The day and hour unknown. But about the day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at any hour when you do not expect him.
Thank you, Patty. Very nice. Happy New Year. No Happy New Year back?
Happy New Year.
Today is the new year. I know I'm a little nuts. We all know that. It's the new church year. Exactly. First Sunday in Advent is the new year for the church calendar. This is when the new year starts over. So forget about the new year of January the 1st. December the 1st is the new liturgical year. I'm going to try to teach you a little bit about Advent today, maybe some things that you don't know. Today marks the beginning of the season of Advent, a time of preparation, a time of going towards the coming again of the Messiah, the Anointed One, a time of great expectation and a time of great anticipation. But exactly what is it that we are to anticipate? What are we getting ready for? What do we expect to happen? Do we anticipate the end of the world, as some religious cults always do at this time of year with their predictions? Are we preparing our hearts and our spirits to receive once again the coming of the Christ child into our world and our midst? Or are we preparing for yet another month-long shopping spree? Or maybe we're getting ready for the 7 to 10 pounds an average American will gain during the season. I wish. Or are we preparing for the traffic jams at the Ross Park Mall and the long lines to get that deal? If we allow ourselves to get caught up in the consumer Christmas, and I firmly believe that in America we do celebrate two separate Christmases on December the 25th. We can easily find ourselves, instead of preparing to sing O Holy Night, we find ourselves living instead one holy nightmare. For the many who faithfully observe the Christmas of consumer Christmas, Advent is the inevitable prelude to disappointment. For the majority of those folks, Christmas somehow hardly ever measures up to their fantasies and their expectations. Even for those who manage to have some of their Christmas wishes fulfilled in their gifts, the season is over so very quickly. But the Advent we celebrate in the church, the one that has nothing at all to do with the number of the shopping days left until Christmas, is altogether different. The decorations of the church, the manger scene, the first Advent candle, all these invite us to dream of a better world, to allow visions that have nothing to do with sugar plum fairies dancing in our heads. Advent invites us to fill the cup of today with the measure of tomorrow, a full cup. The scriptures express the Christian hope for a different and a brighter future. When the prophet Isaiah thought about the advent of God, he envisioned a world unified in worship of God and a world full of peace. Isaiah dreamed of a time when the nations and the people of the world would join together in recognizing the sovereignty of God and declare, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that God may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths." The world, in Isaiah's vision, war was a thing of the past, and the nations of the earth lived together in peace. What sort of images come to your mind when you talk and you think about Advent? Maybe you remember a classic work of art showing somewhere of the journey to Bethlehem, or the nativity scene, or the adoration of the Christ child. Or maybe your traditional symbols of Christmas and Advent are the lighting of the Christmas tree at the White House. Or maybe it's the one at Rockefeller Center. The way we see Advent and Christmas will determine our approach to this celebration that comes every year. Is the essential work of Advent about shopping, or is it more about opening our lives to the coming of Christ? Will Christmas come only if we do the right things to get ready for it, the right preparations? Or is Christmas a gift from God that arrives whether we're ready or not? The message of Advent really is not decorate and shop, but watch and wait. You must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Do you remember the child's game when you closed your eyes and called out finally, "Ready or not, here I come"? Christmas will come whether we are ready for it or not. Christ will come whether we are ready or not. How many times have you heard folks say something like, "It can't be Advent already. I haven't even made out my shopping list yet. Christmas can't come yet. I haven't brought the decorations up from the basement yet." Why do we assume that Christmas can only come if we, as human beings, make all the proper preparations? The truth of the matter is that God's entrance into our lives in the person of Jesus Christ comes at God's initiative and not our initiative. Christ arrives in the midst not as a reward for our careful preparations for his coming, but as a result of the love and compassion of a God. Christ comes to us whether we are ready or not. In the gospel reading for today from Matthew, the disciples are talking to Jesus about the second coming. They want to know what's going to happen so they can be ready for it. Jesus recalls the familiar story of Noah. He reminds the disciples that in the days of Noah, people were living their lives with little concern for God. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and celebrating, and suddenly in those days, the rains came. Only Noah and his family were wise enough to listen to God's warning and seek salvation. When Jesus comes again, he tells his disciples, it's going to be like that. Life will be going on as usual. People will be doing what they normally do, buying and selling, working and playing, doing the everyday, ordinary things of life that you do every single day. And suddenly, without warning, the Lord will return. And when that happens, some will be ready and some will not be ready. Some will remember Jesus' admonition to be ready for the coming of the kingdom, and some will remember, and other things will have become more important to them than church and God and salvation. And those folks who are forgotten or disbelieve will be greatly disappointed when Jesus comes again. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? Sometimes we miss it. The disciples ask about the timing of the second coming. But Jesus said, that is the wrong question. Their question should be, what are we supposed to be doing in the meantime between your ascension into heaven and your coming back while we are waiting his second coming? So it is with us. What are we to do? The important thing for us in this season of Advent is not when Jesus will be coming again, but what is the quality of our waiting? What will we be doing? Will we be looking to the clouds, just sitting back, being our same old selves, being mean to people, being hateful, being backbiters and gossipy, doing all the things that the world does? Or will we separate ourselves from the world and try to have a sense of holiness and looking for Christ to come back, trying to be Christ-like while we wait? Too many folks today concentrate the energy on when is Christ coming back again. They keep doing that, making predictions, and then they become a laughingstock. And then people point to the church, and they point to Christians and say, you're all a bunch of idiots. Well, not all of us. Go channel surfing someday and you'll find at least one televangelist who will gladly tell you in a convincing manner that this is the time that Jesus talked about in Scripture. That the world is going to end any day now and you better be ready. And who knows, they might be right that this got to end sometimes if we believe Christ. But I have to wonder if those folks who claim to speak for God have read the warning Jesus is giving his disciples here in the Gospel according to Matthew. Most often what is missing from their pronouncement of their gloom and doom is a reminder that our concentration is not to be on the future, but to be on the present, on the kind of life that we are living in the here and the now. Jesus doesn't call us to be passive, a do-nothing kind of waiting. Jesus calls us to be disciples, and to be that way, we are to live together as kingdom people, Advent people, active faith. Isaiah echoes that call. O house of Jacob, come let us walk in the light of the Lord. Walking, my friends, is not passive. It is active. Advent invites us to look to the future. But it is most demanding challenge and most exciting promise come in the announcement that the present kingdom is already here also. The incarnation, God coming to dwell in human flesh, declares that the cup of the present is filled to overflowing with the presence of God already. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. And whether we consider the present to be sunny and bright, fair to partly cloudy, or dismal and gloomy, God sends the Messiah to come to live within the world and to be a part of our lives. Elsewhere, Matthew describes the gift of the season of Advent with a single word, Emmanuel, God with us. Not God has been with us. Not God will be with us. But God is with us right now. The message of Advent is that each moment has eternal significance. That the God of all things past and future things is also the God of the here and the now. God invites us to live in the present in expectation and awareness of the fact that eternal realities can break in at any moment. Jesus can come back at any moment, but God's blessings are with us every day of our lives. And so this morning, Advent is here. And now is the time to look at the quality of our waiting. Are we passively waiting, or are we walking in His light? Jesus' preaching and teaching has been aimed at helping us to understand what the kingdom of God is like. Advent challenges us to hear and believe the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. That challenge doesn't call us to be so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. And I actually heard a preacher say that that's how he wanted to be. We're not called to be so starry-eyed over the future that we overlook the present and living with God right now. Advent reminds us that God often breaks into our lives when we least expect it. We cannot know the time or the day of our encounter with the Holy One, whether it's His second coming or whether it's just Him doing something special in our lives or in the life of our church or our nation. Neither can we predict whether that meeting will be a joyful experience of forgiveness and peace and salvation, or whether it's a call to us as individuals or a church or a nation to repentance and responsibility or some combination of the two. But we can realize that it will come an attempt to be ready, and we can be actively waiting. So now the Christmas tree is up, or the Chrismon tree in our sanctuary is up. The candles have been placed with the ribbons along the windows. The manger scene is displayed, all so beautiful. And the first Advent candle and reading candles have been lit. It's beginning, as the song says, to look a lot like Christmas. But I ask you this, are you ready for Christmas? I don't think so. That, my friends, is why there are four Sundays in Advent. May God bless you. Amen. Our communion hymn in your hymnals, 274, verses 1 and 2, Break Thou the Bread of Life. Like to remind you to hold your elements till we all take the communion elements in unity together. And that everyone is welcome to receive communion here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. You do not have to be Presbyterian. Do not have to be a member of this church. All that we ask is that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you are a Christian. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for this day. And we thank you for breaking into the midst of our lives, for showing us a better way than the world, for being a light unto us, for being the Word of God, helping us, saving us, renewing us, healing us, encouraging us. You're so wonderful. We're so thankful that you're in our lives. Help us to draw you closer on a daily basis. And as we receive this communion, the Lord's Supper, may it have real effect in our lives. May it touch us, each one of us individually, in a very special and a very unique way. May it draw us closer to you. And on this first Sunday of Advent, may it remind us that you are already here with us and that we are to be active in our waiting and looking for you to come again in your power and your glory. Thank you for everything, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we do pray. Amen.
On the day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body which has been given for you. As often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. You have seen me, and you have seen the Father. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the first. I am the last." In a sense of unity, let us remember the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the same day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament, pouring it, saying, "This is my blood which has been shed for the remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." Although you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead, then you shall be saved. Let us remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ.
A closing hymn, Nativity Prayer 126. I'd like to invite you back next Sunday and remind you the next communion, I believe, will be the first Sunday in January. So hope that you can come again, and thank you for allowing us to go over just a little bit today in time.
As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope you go preparing your hearts and your minds for the coming of Jesus Christ into your life in a new and special way. And I hope you go looking up to the clouds, waiting for that glorious celebration when Jesus comes with his angels, in his power, and his glory. But go determined to actively wait, doing the work that he has called us, the mission as his disciples. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.